History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck. And all the things I thought were true when I was young and you were too turned out to be broken. And I don't know what comes next in a world that has decided that it's going to lose.
Welcome to Recovering. I'm your host, Damien Gibson. This is a podcast about recovery and getting sober, and more importantly, staying sober. Not that I have all the answers or all the tools, but it's a podcast where I, you know, talk you through my experiences on the weekly that hopefully help with you or someone that you know's sobriety journey. I keep using that word. I can't think of another one. This week, I thought I'd talk about grief and trauma. I know last week I said that I would talk about the sort of first year, and I will do that eventually, but I didn't want to talk about, you know, my experiences week after week. If there wasn't some sort of semblance of advice, you know, so just sort of listening back to last week, I think there was some stuff in there, but yeah, I don't want to bore you with just sort of routine stories about, you know, and then this week I did this, and then the next month I did this, and then so I thought this week I would talk about grief and trauma in a couple of different ways. I know for me, I think, you know, the more work that I've done, I've sort of realized that my addictive personality, especially around alcohol, came from emotional trauma, which just is a Latin word for wound. Everybody carries trauma around with them. And I think I had some things that I probably still haven't dealt with properly. The breakdown of my family, my mum and dad broke up when I was quite young. My dad's own alcoholism and being around that, witnessing that, was stuff that I really should have been working on from my mid-teens onwards, whether it was through talk therapy or whatever. Didn't get around to that till I was 39. So, but I really think a lot of addiction comes from undiagnosed and untreated trauma. Yes, there's definitely scientific evidence that alcoholism can be innate as much as it can be environmental. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying in my experience, I think that's where it's come from. Although, you know, one could argue I come from a long line of people who are partial to a drink, to say the least. So the thing that was sort of carrying on from last week, the thing that was important once I'd made the decision, okay, well, sobriety's for me, this is what needs to happen to improve my life, was then I talked last week about doing an emotional inventory, and I'll try and find a link to some worksheets and stuff from some reputable places and put them in the show notes that you can have a look at and see if it's something that works for you. But trying to get to the root of why, like for me personally, why am I so fucking miserable all the time and anxious and scared and on edge all the time, constantly? And unless I've got a beer and a cigarette in my hand, that seemed to be the only time where I could actually switch off. But as I've sort of, you know, reiterated in the first couple of episodes, that all that did was just create a cycle, and you're just pushing the feelings, the learnt responses to those traumatic events to one side, or pushing it down. And, you know, we all know as adult human beings that that's the worst possible thing you could do. so that, you know, that's where talk therapy really came in handy for me. But especially, I did talk therapy after I did these emotional inventories. And just to give you a brief outline of what it is, it's essentially, like I was sort of saying last week, is really having an intrinsic look over your whole entire life, things that you've done wrong, things that were done wrong by you or against you, and figuring out how those things made you feel, how they still make you feel, and then going through a process of trying to let them go, or at least know that they exist, and know what the triggers are for that trauma, and making sure that you get on top of them when they appear. Just to give you some insight into my life in the last kind of week and a half, a good friend of mine has had a really serious medical diagnosis that for a little while there. Anyway, it's very serious, very, very serious. And, you know, like you try really hard to not make it about yourself. And, you know, your first thoughts are about the person that who's going through it, your friend who's going through this stuff. But it, you know, there's a lot of emotions. There's the past traumas of having gone through, you know, separation with people that you love, and then, you know, sort of remembering the good times with that person, and you know, thinking about, you know, there's a tendency to catastrophize at times as well, especially in very serious situations like that. So, you know, my emotions were kind of all over the place, and you know, to a point still are a little bit, to the point where, you know, I had a few cigarettes during the week, and, you know, that is a pretty significant sign that I'm leaning on old behaviors to forget, to push things to one side, you know, and I can find myself cognitively trying to excuse my behaviors already, where it's like, oh well, this is good, you know, I go out on the balcony and I have a smoke and I'm relaxing, you know, having time with myself, with really what I should be doing is meditating or going for a run or listening to an album. You know, they would be much more constructive ways to do the exact same thing and not slowly killing myself as well in the process. And addiction is, you know, that little example is a really good sort of, you know, that micro example is also a good example of what happens on a macro level with a serious addiction like drinking. And it's, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't even really notice that, you know, I just had a cigarette in my hand sort of thing. It wasn't, I didn't consciously go, oh, okay, well, I have to smoke now, you know. And I think there's a tendency in your conscious brain to sort of search around in situations like that and almost use it as an excuse to fall on old habits and bad behaviors. Well, not bad behaviors, but behaviors that are definitely not good for you. So that's an example of what not to do in the past. Well, you know, thankfully, I haven't had a drink. I have had no desire to. You know, the thought has come up a couple of times. What I do when those thoughts come up is consciously go through the steps of what would happen. So rather than, and this is probably good advice for myself with smoking, and should be doing it, I should be paying just as much attention to this as anybody else. But if I do have a thought about having a drink, I will go through a list of things in my head of what would happen. It's almost like a good form of catastrophizing. It's like, okay, well, if I have a drink, what would happen? Well, you would probably have a second, and then a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth, and so on, and so on. And you might get away with it. You might have one night where you get on the grog and have a good night, and the next morning you wake up feeling a bit hungover, but you feel more relaxed because you've, you know, sort of gone outside yourself a little bit. But the likelihood is a couple of nights later, I would do it again. And then a couple of nights later, I would do it again. And then again. And then all the things that started, that were happening, that cycle that I was talking about in the last couple of episodes, where you just feel like you're stuck on a gravitron that you can't get off of. It, you know, your own personal circle of hell. That's what would happen, you know. And then I think about the things that I would lose. I would probably lose my girlfriend. I would probably lose friendships, my job, you know, the money that I have in the bank. All of these things would be lost, you know, outside of how I would feel physically and from a mental health standpoint. So once you start getting through a list that long of why not, the thought's already subsided. So I think that's just a handy little tool that I use when you realize that there's some small change behaviors that may lead to, you know, making decisions that just aren't good for you, you know. Look, you know, plenty of people I know that are sober smoke. You just got to go to an AA meeting to see how many people are smoking outside, and that's fine. You know, like I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying for myself, noticing that I'm smoking and bought a packet of cigarettes and is not great. It's not, you know, it's a sign that I'm probably not dealing with things as well as I could, and I need to get back and be more disciplined with the tools that I've learned over the last 3 years. To get back into a frame of mind where I don't need to do those things. I don't need to do those behaviors to get through the day. So being aware of those changed behaviors is important. Talking to someone about that is also really helpful if you can't do it on your own. Again, group therapy like Smart Recovery or AA is great, or if you've got a sponsor, also fantastic, or just a friend. Just say, hey, look, I'm, you know, this stuff's happening in my life and I'm finding myself doing this. And sometimes just verbalizing it, like I was talking about with telling people that you're getting sober, putting it out into the world makes it real. It's not just in your head, you know. So you know, it seems really obvious that would be something that you would do, but, you know, I mean, you would be amazed how many times I don't do it as much as I should. You know, and obviously people still have issues talking to people about their mental health issues or their sobriety, whatever the case may be. I think a practical way of trying to get through these times where you're going through a traumatic event or dealing with grief is to really break down your finish lines. So what I mean by that is the sort of the old AA adage of one day at a time, which I can understand if you're listening to this and trying to get sober, those kind of things can sound quite trite at first and be like, oh, well, duh. But once you're in it, they are actually invaluable tools to just think about, okay, well, I'm not going to have a, you know, for my example, I'm not going to have a cigarette until 8 p.m. And then, you know, I'll reaffirm. Or the better way of doing that is, look, for today, I'm not going to smoke. And you don't think any further than that. And it should be the same thing with drinking. Today, I'm not going to have a drink. You can have long-term goals of like, well, I want to be sober for the rest of my life, or I want to quit smoking forever. That's fine, but really you're doing yourself a disservice even trying to think any further than today. Especially when you're going through a really rough time outside of your own sobriety, whatever the case may be, you're just putting too much pressure on your own shoulders to think about anything outside of today. And I mean, really, you could use that philosophy for anything. You know, I'm just going to get to work today and get through today's work day, you know, and tomorrow doesn't matter yet. So anyway, I just thought having gone not through, like, you know, me personally haven't gone through too much, especially considering what this friend has gone through, but emotionally it's been a real roller coaster, and these are the times where things can, you can slip up, you can fuck up and fall back into to old habits, and I certainly have in the last week with smoking, and it's definitely something that I'll have to address in the coming weeks and get it back out of my life. But yeah, I just thought it might be valuable for someone to hear that, you know, one, these things happen and we don't always deal with them as well as we could, but just trying to use the tools in your toolbox and the resources that you have to be aware of the changed behaviors, talk to someone about it, and really break down those finish lines, is probably a good way to deal with it. I'm going to leave it there, guys. As always, I'll put some resources, links to resources in the notes. Thank you so much for the people who are listening. I hope you're getting something out of it. And until next week, look after yourselves. I'll talk to you soon.
History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck. And all the things I thought were true when I was young and you were too turned out to be broken. And I don't know what comes next in a world that has decided that it's going to lose its mind. Be more kind, my friend.